Wow, that was good to read together. Thank you, Paul. Good morning. I am excited to preach today. Actually, I'm more excited to preach next week because what we're talking about next week builds on today, but that's okay. I'm still excited to preach today and just excited for all that God is doing in us and through us in this space. So grateful that each one of us are here today, here and online. We're going to practice some boundaries around our text today so that we can experience it more fully next week. We're going to go straight to the text that we just read together so that we can understand the context well. John 15. I invite you to picture this. Jesus is speaking to the disciples. They've been in the upper room. They've had the Passover meal. Jesus has done the incredible of kneeling and washing the disciples' feet. Judas has left to betray Jesus. And just before this passage starts, Jesus says, "Come now, let us leave." Maybe there is something that Jesus needed to share with the disciples before Judas comes back. Jesus and the disciples had walked together throughout Jesus' ministry. The disciples were familiar with his words and his ways. And now the time for the cross is near. The disciples are going to be on their own. And let's hear Jesus' words. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener." Okay, let's pause right there. The vine means Israel, but previously for the disciples, the vine meant a certain type of Israel, one that is lacking and corrupt. Scripture says that God had planted a vine out of Egypt into the promised land, but it yielded wild grapes. And Jesus tells the disciples he is the real vine, a new type of Israel, faithful. The disciples were about to see Jesus' faithfulness very clearly. So let's think about this. If Jesus is the new Israel, and Jesus' way of being Israel is faithfulness, then what does that mean for us and for our faithfulness that we are attached quite intimately in this analogy to Jesus? Well, I noticed several helpful strands that are wound up together. One, that God in mercy chose Jesus to create a whole new way and world. And two, that Jesus was faithful through suffering, death, and new life to inaugurate this new world. Three, so that we who are attached to Jesus are empowered to live more and more like Jesus. Living like Jesus includes Jesus empowering us to live like Jesus. I learned of two people this week who used to struggle with alcohol addiction. One of them has been sober now for 15 years, and the other, I think, for 22 years has now been sober. Overcoming our struggles is possible because Jesus is the true vine, a new Israel, faithful, and we are connected. So let's pick up the last part of verse 1. Jesus says, "My Father is the gardener." Now, we could easily spend the rest of the sermon just on that one sentence. Because whether or not we like dirt and seeds, we like being in charge of our lives. I could give you too many painful examples from my own life. God is the one who plants. And thankfully, in this analogy, God is the one who weeds. Can I get a hallelujah? And God is the one who waters. God provides the conditions so that the roots of Christ sink deep and strong because Jesus is linked to God in the same ways that we are linked to Jesus. Verse 2, Jesus the vine says, "He, the gardener, cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit." Judas is the obvious example here. "While every branch," this is us, "that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Well, this is like the nurses in the congregation. When we get a shot, there's going to be a small pinch, they always say. Our arm is going to hurt and be sore for a day, but it is for the health of the whole body. Pruning helps the plant to have enough air to be able to move between the branches. Pruning teaches the plant which way to grow and how to use its energy at its best. So when we stay attached to the vine, we all get pruned. Now, we would need to pull in other passages of scripture here to get a full picture, and yet notice here where Jesus says the pruning comes from. Does the branch prune itself? No. It's the gardener. The gardener does the pruning. And some of us, if we're honest, we get really angry at that. Because we, not only do we want to be the gardener, we want only a nice, sweet, kind God. We want a God whose goodness means that we never suffer. Anyone? Or at least a God who lets us choose how we're going to suffer. Sometimes we create our own suffering. That's a whole yet another topic. Instead, God prunes us for a purpose because God is faithful. And this is far better for us that we be pruned a little and still connected to the vine. It doesn't always feel like it's better. I know from this past week. And yet it is far better and far less suffering when we stay connected to the vine. The branch that's cut off entirely from the vine has no stability, no roots, no source of strength or nutrients. It's on its own. As Bruner says, what root and trunk are to trees, Jesus is to human life. What root and trunk are to trees, Jesus is to human life. Verse 3 shows a surprising way that God prunes us. Do you notice this? Through Jesus' words. Jesus is the Word and also the Word made flesh. He spoke words that shape, that prune how we live. I would love to hear your examples after the worship service. I can share some of my own. This would be great fellowship meal conversation later. What words of Jesus have pruned our lives? I remember Jesus' words pruning me about 14 years ago when I learned the end of John 15:5. Jesus says, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." Nothing. I admit that on the Enneagram personality test, I am a type 3 achiever. I have been driven most of my life, and so that hit me very hard. And I regret that I argued with God for a very long time. What about this accomplishment? What about that? What about the time I served the church? There had been about 2 years that I'd spent serving God by leading children's ministry, and I'd given so much time and energy, 99% of which was done out of my own capacity. Pruning. So I invite us to each think of a challenge that we are facing in life. Graham Cook talks about changing the names of problems to possibilities. His experience abiding with Christ has taught him that every problem is simply an opportunity for a greater understanding of who God is. So quickly think of a challenge that you have. Pick one. Raise your hand if you have one in mind. Think of one. If you can't think of one in your own life, think of one in the church or in Virginia or in the world. Any challenge. Instead of responding to that challenge as though we are the gardener, instead of responding to that challenge as though we are the vine, what if we respond to that challenge remembering we are a branch? That we are being cared for by the gardener. That we are connected to the true vine, who is a new type of Israel, faithful. That without the vine, we can do nothing that lasts. So then, what is our one next faithful step to living connected with the vine more? What one adjustment might God be inviting from us? The purpose of the branches, surprisingly, is not about bearing fruit. The vine causes the branches to bear fruit. The branches' role is to abide. How might we abide this week in the possibilities that we face? And maybe we'll come back and explore what abiding means next week. Apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. Apart. A part. A part of the body on its own is disconnected from the vine. Notice that each branch is not only connected to the vine, but through the vine, the branches are connected to each other. This is us. Brenda Fairweather made this beautiful basket several years ago during a worship service, and many of us here wrote our names and scripture verses and prayers on reeds that Brenda then wove together to make this basket. I'll give you an example. It's a little tricky because they're woven and I can't see the entire verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. The sovereign Lord is my strength. What I notice about this basket with all of our reeds together is that it's connected by the vine. We are all connected to each other because of the vine. Brenda created something new, like the gardener tending this church, maturing us into a congregation that is still growing together in Christ and being transformed, abiding and bearing fruit. Now, this basket sat in the lead pastor's office for the last number of years, and yesterday I took it from my office, and I enjoyed reading through each name and each scripture verse. You're welcome to do so after the service as well. I have used this basket to hold prayers for the congregation. However, it's time for a new location for this basket. I welcome your location suggestions, but it's time for all to be able to appreciate the beauty of the basket and to have this visible reminder, this art in front of us, that Jesus is still the true vine for Zion Mennonite Church. May it be so more and more through Christ, the faithful vine. Amen.